Welcome to another midweek podcast. It's 24th of March, and today we're looking at Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3. Let's pray. In Isaiah 28, the Lord calls to his people, "Listen and hear my voice, pay attention and hear what I say." Father, may we today recognise the authority of your voice and listen in humble expectation of the good things you have to say to us. Amen. Reading then in Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptised by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptised by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfil all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptised, he went up out of the water. At that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Imagine in more normal times having a part-time job serving meals in a pub restaurant. It's a quiet evening, but you know that the mayor has booked a table for herself and three guests, and it's your job to look after them. As the party arrives, you check again in the mirror that you're looking spick and span before going to welcome the guests, show them to their table, and take their coats to hang up. When you return to the table, to your amazement, the mayor stands up, points to her chair and says to you, "You sit down with my guests. I'm going to do the serving tonight." Well, if that happened, it would not only be utterly surprising, but I guess it would feel, well, inappropriate and unsettling. Perhaps something like John must have felt when Jesus came to him to be baptised. The baptism of Jesus is an important occasion. All four Gospels refer to it with a description of the event in the first three, and John's Gospel alludes to it when John the Baptist speaks of seeing the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove, as we read here in Matthew. That was the sign that John the Baptist had been told to expect to confirm who was the one he had been preaching about. But John was quite uncomfortable at the thought of baptising Jesus. After all, John had been proclaiming to the crowds that someone much greater than him was coming, whose sandals he was not worthy to carry. Verse 11. Did John know at this point that that someone was the person now standing before him asking for baptism? Asking as if he was just another of the many responding to John's call to repent and get ready for the coming of God's kingdom? We can't be sure, but there was clearly something very different about Jesus that screamed in John's mind that this was all the wrong way round. I need to be baptised by you. Yet if Jesus is the coming one, there's surely something awry in John's thinking that he knows better than Jesus what is appropriate. Of course, John is right. He does need to be baptised by Jesus. That's precisely what John had been teaching that Jesus would do. He would baptise with the Holy Spirit. But what John had understandably failed to recognise at this point was the path that this coming one, this Jesus, must follow in order for the kingdom of God to be opened to repentant sinners. The path that went to the cross. Jesus could only do his work of baptising in the Spirit after he had been through his own baptism at the cross. In being baptised by John in the water of the Jordan River, Jesus was therefore anticipating the cross. He was identifying with the repentant sinners who had come to have their sins taken away. Christian baptism always includes water. It carries this symbolism of washing away the guilt and stain of sin. But also, as we see much more clearly in full immersion baptism, it portrays the dying of the old sinful nature as the person goes under the water and the rising to the new spiritual nature as they come up out of the water. Jesus was being baptised in anticipation of his own death and resurrection, where he took upon himself the full weight and guilt and punishment for our sin. If Jesus felt it appropriate to be baptized himself, then surely we will want to be baptized too, if we are trusting in him. Just as Jesus identified with fallen sinners in water baptism, we want to identify with him in being baptized ourselves. At the end of his gospel, Matthew records Jesus' mandate to his followers to make disciples, and baptizing them was part of that. So we should follow the example of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. When he understood from the scriptures who Jesus was and understood the gospel, he asked, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" and promptly got baptized. Well, Jesus' baptism was the appropriate precursor to his ministry on earth. This was the point at which he was equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit for that ministry. The Spirit descended visibly, and the Father's voice was heard audibly. This is a wonderful Trinitarian moment in which we see the three persons of God come together in affirming not only the status of Jesus as the Son of God, but the sheer delight of the Father in what his Son is obediently doing. What Jesus does truly fulfills all righteousness, for it is what the Father would have him do. So, as we approach Easter, let's remember that all Jesus did was to please his Father, and that even in going to the cross, especially in going to the cross, Jesus was obediently pleasing his Father. There was no reluctance on the part of Jesus or the Father to do what was necessary to win our salvation. Even in those three terrible hours of darkness, as Jesus hung on the cross, cut off from his Father, Jesus was still pleasing his Father, and his Father delighted in him, fulfilling his plan at such great personal cost. But Jesus isn't the only one who can please the Father. Through Jesus, because of Jesus, it will please our Heavenly Father if our baptism, our identification with Jesus, leads us to fulfil all righteousness too. Later in his Gospel, Matthew recounts the story of Jesus about three servants who were each given different amounts of resources to use to serve their master. Two of those servants thought about how they could use those resources for their master's benefit and invested them wisely. When they reported back to their master, he replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So how do we bring such happiness to our Heavenly Father? It's not about doing great things, but about being faithful with the resources he has given each of us. He's given you people to pray for, people in your family, people in your church family. Well, be faithful in prayer. He has perhaps given you an opening to talk about Jesus with an unbelieving friend or colleague. Be faithful in talking about Jesus. He's perhaps brought someone into your life who is weighed down with anxiety or guilt. Be faithful in listening. Or someone who has practical needs. Be faithful in working out how you and perhaps others can help. Maybe you have other resources in time, in teaching ability, in administrative and practical skills, maybe in money or music. Whatever resources we have, these are what we have been given to invest in God's kingdom. Don't we love to hear those words, "well done," from others? How much more wonderful it will be to hear them from our Father in heaven, who loves us just as he loves his Son Jesus, who came to fulfill all righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus came in such willing obedience to fulfill all that you had planned and prepared for him to do, even though that meant going to the cross. But what a glorious victory was won there through his obedience. Thank you that Jesus identified himself with us in baptism, recognizing the cleansing and new life that we need to be acceptable in your sight. Please help us to identify ourselves with Jesus at the cross, seeing our sinful nature crucified with him, and having new life through the Spirit coming down into our hearts, stirring us to joyful obedience, that we too may please you and rest in your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray again for your mercy upon our world, our nation, our church family, and our own families as we continue to live under the impact of this pandemic, with so many lives lost and many more damaged, whether directly or through the economic and mental health problems it has caused. May this curse lead to much blessing through many crying out to you, repenting of their sin and putting their trust in Jesus. Please be with governments, health authorities and care agencies in seeking to bring relief. Give them much wisdom and a willingness to work together where this will lead to better outcomes. We do pray that restrictions in our own country will be able to be lifted safely very soon, and that the aspects of church life which we are so missing will be restored. But meanwhile, help us to be patient, prayerful, and persevering in all faithfulness. Again we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for listening in today. And just a reminder that this evening, Julian and David will be answering some of the questions that have come out of our series in Genesis 1 to 3. Do join us for that. Zoom details are in the email announcing this podcast. But I'll say goodbye for now.